It is so good to have you back with us again this Wednesday night to be able to discuss once again the truths of Scripture. I'm excited about what we're going to talk about tonight. It's dear to my soul, and I'm excited about it, and hopefully you will be too when it's all said and done. But just before we get started, just a reminder that this Saturday, Roger Flores is doing Zooming Through the Life of Christ. You want to be a part of that, just contact Roger, and you can be a part of that gentleman this Saturday at 8:30. And you can have your coffee and your bagel and enjoy time with other men of our church. And then again on Sunday, Abolishing Anxiety, we'll look at point number 5. What a great study. It's going to get better and better as we go. We have 4 more points to cover. And when it's all said and done, you'll be able to have, in a nutshell, the things you need to understand in order to eradicate all your worries and to be able to move on and live a life free of anxiety. That's my prayer for you and for me as we understand God's call upon our life. And I'm excited about that opportunity. But before that, we have tonight. And tonight is something that's so dear to my heart because it's point 3 of our outline in terms of fatherhood, a fortress for your family. We told you point number 1 is that you need to focus on life's priority. Focus on life's priority. Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. The priority is living for Christ. If you don't focus on that, then you can't be that foundational refuge for your family. Number 2 is abstain from all iniquity. And that is Proverbs 3, verse number 7, by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. And we need to abstain from all those things that cause us to fall away from the Lord, that tempt us to sin and turn our backs on the Lord. Hate evil, you who love the Lord, Psalm 97:10. That's the way we ought to be. Once you begin to sin, one sinner destroys much good. It affects your whole family. It infects your whole family in such a way it begins to permeate the entire house, and one little leaven leavens the whole lump. So, gentlemen, you need to abstain from iniquity. And tonight is point number 3. And if you want to be that foundation, that bulwark, that solid rock for your family, you need to treasure your legacy. That's point number 3. Treasure your legacy. Told you a couple of weeks ago on Sunday morning about my father when he was diagnosed with ALS. Today is the day, April 28th. I'm recording this on a Tuesday. You're going to see it on a Wednesday. But on April 28th, 7 years ago, this day, my dad was diagnosed with ALS. And the unique thing about my dad is that he taught me how to live with pain. He taught me how to work through anxiety. Those 17 months that he suffered through ALS, and before he died, I was able to see a man living with pain. But on top of that, I realized that throughout his whole life, my father taught me so many valuable lessons that he passed down to me, that I might be able to carry on the legacy that my dad began. He began it because his father wasn't saved. His father didn't know the Lord. His mom didn't know the Lord. But when my dad gave his life to Christ, he purposed in his heart to change the direction of his family. And so he passed down to me and to my sister the legacy of truth, a lasting legacy that would impact our lives so that we could then impact our children, so that then in turn our children can impact their children. I ask you tonight, what legacy will you leave behind? Not a legacy just for now or even for tomorrow, but forever. The Bible tells us in Psalm 112, verse number 6, that the memory of the righteous lasts forever. Will you be able to pass down a legacy that truly, truly lasts forever? Because there's only 2 things that last forever, God's word and people. Nothing else does. Everything in the world is going to pass away. And we want to pass down to our children our finances, which you can do. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, right? Or you can pass down your car, your home, all that as a part of your legacy. But the real legacy is in that which lasts forever. And that's God's word and people. And so you want to be able to invest God's word into people, because those are the treasures of your legacy. And the man of God is going to treasure that legacy in such a way he's going to build a stronger fortress for his family. my dad would build a fortress for his family. And he would build it so it would be strong and stable. And he did it in a way that I think for the most part, he didn't even know what he was doing. But when I'm able to look back on his life and when I preached his memorial service, I began to outline for the people what it is my dad had taught me over the years that I had lived at home and beyond that. And that was my dad's legacy. It was all about a legacy of truth. His favorite verse was 3 John 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. No greater joy. That was his joy. He couldn't wait to hear about the things of God in my life and hear about how God was working in my life and my family's life. That's what made my dad so excited. That's all that mattered to him. And I would trust that that's all that matters to you. I want you to treasure your legacy. I want you to value your legacy. When you treasure something, you treat it with great care and protection. Because you want it to last for a long time. Well, you want your legacy to last beyond your life to the next generation and to the succeeding generations. David said it this way in Psalm 71, verse number 17. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and I still declare thy wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me. Until I declare thy strength to this generation, thy power to all who are to come. David wanted to declare to this generation and all who are to come after that, the power of God, the strength of God, the providence of God. He wanted people to know his God. He was a king. He wasn't interested in people knowing about his crown or even his credentials as a soldier and a warrior and a singer. That wasn't important to him. As great as he was at those things, and he was great at them, he just wanted to pass on the truth about God. That's what mattered most to him, and that's what should matter most to you and me. So my challenge for you, for me, is to ask ourselves, how are we passing that down? You know, my dad lived a complete life. Colossians 2:9. You are complete in him. About being in Christ means that you are complete positionally and you are complete with all the resources you need to live a godly life. You are complete in Christ. And my father understood that completeness. He understood that a completed life is a continuing life. Those who are complete in Christ continue on with Christ. And therefore, they pass on to others that work. And that's what I want for you. That's what I want for me. So you got to ask yourself, what are you passing down to your children? What is it they see you valuing the most? I want you to treasure your legacy. And I want to show you how it is you do that. I'm going to explain to you in the time that we have left about how it is you can actually treasure your legacy so that when you are called home to be with the Lord, you can have something left behind that lasts forever. That's what really makes a difference. So I want it for you. I want it for me. I want the men of our church to understand these things. And I would trust you'd be able to pass this on to your children and they to their children. Because this really, truly matters. And these principles are the principles I shared when my father went home to be with the Lord. I shared it as an introduction to my sermon that day. It's quite lengthy, but it was a long introduction. And those of you who know me, that's a lot of times what I do anyway. So this is what it means to be complete in Christ so that you're in the process of treasuring your legacy, okay? Those who treasure their legacy, number one, are favored by God. Favored by God, not because of anything that you've done, because you haven't done anything to gain God's favor, But you truly have been graced by God. Remember Moses? I'm sorry, Noah. Sorry, wrong guy. Noah in Genesis chapter 6. It says in verse number 6, "And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And the Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals, to creeping things, and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made him." Why? Because everything in the heart of man was only evil continually. So he says, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." But Noah, those but ologies of Scripture, oh, are so huge. But Noah, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Every man was evil in his own heart. Every thought, every motive of a man was evil. It was continually filled with iniquity. But Noah found favor. Noah was graced by God. Noah was just like everybody else, filled with sin. But God chose to grace him. It's the first time the word grace is used in the Bible. God would stoop down and show favor to Noah. And then it says, these are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man. He wasn't favored because he was a righteous man. He was a righteous man because he was favored by God. He was positionally right with God because God chose to favor Noah. He was blameless in his time, and Noah walked with God. A favored man is a graced man. A graced man is a merciful man because he has found mercy in God. For by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He had received the gift of God's grace. To be complete in Christ so you can treasure your legacy, you must be favored by God. And I wonder if you have found God's favor. Not because you've done anything great, but because you have truly receive the gift of grace. It's the gift of God that grants man eternal life. And it's God who chooses you, not by works of righteousness which you have done, but by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Spirit of God. Oh, the grace of God appeared to man, Titus chapter 2. And I would trust that you have found favor with God, because that's what it means to be complete in Christ. And once you are, the legacy that lasts forever is something you treasure dearly. He was favored by God. Number two, he was forgiven by God. Forgiven by God. My father understood the essence of forgiveness, what it meant to be set free from your sins. The Bible says in Psalm 32, verse number 1, "Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, who does not charge to man his sin. That's the forgiven man. It's like those in Acts chapter 5 who repented and found the forgiveness of sins. It's like Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. He was one who believed God, and it was reckoned unto him as righteousness. He was forgiven of his sins. You see, once you're forgiven of your sins, your legacy begins to loom large because you are free from your guilt, because God has set you free from your sin. A favored man is a forgiven man. A forgiven man is a friend of God. Those favored by God, forgiven by God, are a friend of God. You know, in the book of Genesis, we realize about Abraham, and James tells us in James 2:23 that Abraham was a friend of God. He's the only person in the Old Testament called the friend of God. It's not that David wasn't a friend of God. It's not that Solomon wasn't, or other Old Testament characters weren't friends of God. But Abraham, he was called a friend of God. And Jesus said these words in John's Gospel, the 15th chapter, in verse number 14. "You are my friends if you do what I command you." No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." A friend of God. God calls us his friends. Those who have found favor with God have been forgiven by God and are the friend of God. That's the basis for the legacy. That's the foundation for the legacy. That's where it all stems from. And the number four is this. A man who treasures his legacy fears God. He truly fears God. I'm really astounded at the number of people who claim to know Christ as Savior who are living lives of fear during this pandemic. That baffles me. Because we should be those who fear nothing, let alone fear death, because that's all been removed from us, right? And the fear of God is so important. Years ago, we wrote a book called The Fear of God. Best little pamphlet ever. It's so good because it spells out for you what it means to fear God. How do you know you fear God? And what are the consequences of fearing God? If you don't have this book, I would encourage you to get it. If you don't have it, we'll give it to you for free. All you can do is let us know. We'll make sure you get it. It's a great little booklet, something you can do with your children. And it's based off of what Solomon said. What does Solomon say in Ecclesiastes 12:13? The end of every man is what? Fear God, keep his commandments. That's it. That's the end of every man. Fear God, keep his commandments. And Solomon, who wrote the book of Proverbs, speaks so much about the fear of God. In fact, over in Proverbs chapter 14, listen to what he says in verse number 26. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. In other words, if you fear God, you have tremendous confidence, tremendous boldness, tremendous courage, because your fear is in nothing around you, no circumstances, no situations, no virus. There's strong confidence. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. Wow. His children will have refuge. His children will have protection. His children will have a place of security and safety. Why? Because they know that Dad is strong. When you fear God, you have strong confidence. And your children find a place of refuge. And Solomon would write that. And Solomon would write the book of Proverbs because he wants your son to understand the truths of Scripture. He wants to pass down a lasting legacy of truth. And then over in Psalm 112, these words are written. Psalm 112, verse number 1. Praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. Those who fear the Lord greatly delight in God's commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. His descendants will be mighty on earth. You want to leave a legacy? Fear the Lord, delight in his commandments. Isaiah 8, verse number 13. The Lord of hosts shall be your fear. He and he only shall be your dread. If you dread the Lord, you'll delight in his commandments, and your descendants will be great upon the earth. And that's what the psalmist said. He says, the generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. That's where it goes on to say in verse number 6, for he will never be shaken. The righteous will be remembered forever. This man is unshakable because he's so strong. There's strong confidence in the fear of the Lord. He will never be shaken. He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is upheld. He will not fear. He will not fear his surroundings. How great is that? Psalm 128. Psalm 128 picks up on that. The psalmist says this, how blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. whether you're son, a daughter, father, mother. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you'll eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy, and it will be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Indeed, he says, may you see your children's children, because they will prosper. They will be successful because you feared the Lord. How about you? You fear the Lord? You want to leave a lasting legacy? You're favored by God, forgiven by God, a friend of God, and fear God. That is a man who treasures his legacy, because he's going to pass on from generation to generation the beauty of his God. I'm reminded of the words of the psalmist in Psalm 103. In Psalm 103, the psalmist said in verses 18 and 19, I believe it is, Psalm 103. I'll pick it up in verse 15. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. In other words, not going to live long. Man's life is like the grass, here today, gone tomorrow. But, another one of those butologies, but the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and to remember his precepts to do them. There's something about the legacy passed down to your children that happens in a profound way when you fear the Lord. And I would trust that that would be you. So the man who is complete in Christ understands that being completed in him allows you to continue on with him and for your legacy to continue from generation to generation. They're favored by God, forgiven by God, a friend of God, and fear God. Number five, fixed on God. Fixed on God. Psalm 57, verse number 7 says, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed on thee. Your heart is completely fixed. When you fix your gaze on something, when you stare at something so as to have your eyes penetrate that which you're looking upon, that's the man who is able to pass on to his children the importance of being fixed and focused upon the Christ. That's why the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 12, fixing your eyes upon the author and creator of your faith. Fix your eyes on him, the author and creator of your faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. Remember 1 Corinthians 15:58? Be ye fixed, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. How can you do that? Because you're fixed on the resurrection of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 is all about the resurrection of Christ and how, because he is that which has taken on that which is imperishable, so now we become imperishable. Because there's no victory that death has over us. We've gained the victory over death. And because when we focus on the resurrection and our eyes are fixed on the resurrected Christ, we are steadfast, fixed, immovable, unshakable, abounding always in the work of the Lord. That's what we want to do. And so you need to be fixed upon the Lord Christ. Fixing your eyes on something is a trust issue. So many times our eyes are moved away from the Lord. We are to set our affections on things above. Fix our eyes on things above. Why? Because that's where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God the Father. But there are so many distractions that come our way. It's like driving down the freeway. Your eyes are supposed to be fixed in front of you, knowing what the traffic's like in front of you, to the side of you, and the rear of you, being fixed on where you're going. But there are so many signs along the way, so many conversations that take place in the car, so much music that's being played. It distracts us from our undivided attention. We need to have an undivided attention upon the Christ. When we do, we are slowly but surely passing on to the next generation the importance of the Lord Jesus Christ, that nothing will take our gaze off of Him. Those who are complete in Christ are favored by God, forgiven by God, a friend of God, fear God, fixed on God. They are, number six, fed by God. They're fed by God. Matthew 4, verse number 4, Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. There is this feeding process that takes place in our lives that causes us to grow inwardly and to grow spiritually for the sake of our relationship with the living God. The Bible says that we're to taste and see that the Lord is good. Jeremiah said, thy words are found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Jeremiah understood that. That even though everybody else around him rejected him, and nobody would listen to him. I mean, the Lord told him, you're going to be my spokesperson. You're going to speak for me, but no one's going to listen. But yet, it wasn't the fact that people listened. It was that God's word was everything to him. It was the joy of his heart. Job said it this way in Job 23, verse number 12, I have not departed from the commandments of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job, who was suffering with boils, having lost everything except for his wife, said, I don't wander away from God's commandments. I treasure his words. I treasure them more than my necessary food. In fact, God's word is more necessary than my food. My spiritual health is more important than my physical health. How many people do you know like that? That where you are spiritually with the Lord is so much more important than where you are physically. But that was Job. And he suffered greatly. It would be the psalmist who said in Psalm 19, after talking about the law of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, and how they restore the soul, and how they are that which make clear the mind. And there's just such a beautiful portrait of the Word of God. He says these words. He says, they, the Word of God, is more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them thy servant is warned, in keeping them, there is great reward. There is great reward in keeping the commandments of God. Because the psalmist knew what it meant to feed on God's word. Listen, when you teach your children, when you're able to sit around the table and talk about the things of the Lord, you know, your children can't drink water from a dry cistern. They can't drink water from a dry fountain. There has to be this running water, this flowing river, where there's fresh water all the time, so that when they come to drink of it, it's always fresh, it's always pure, it's always clean. That only happens because you're being fed on God's word. And as you're being fed on God's word, you're growing spiritually, and the river that flows from you is a clean, flowing river of truth. Your children need that from you. You know, I look back in my life and I can remember, you know, my father never taught me how to study the Bible. He never did. I didn't really understand how to study the Bible, really, until I went off to college and seminary. But my dad always studied the Bible. He always studied the Bible. He was always in the Word. And although my dad didn't have the tools and the techniques by which to teach me how to study the Bible, he always studied the Bible, which taught me I need to be studying the Bible. You see, fellas, this is what you need to be doing. modeling to your children what it is they need to be doing. As you are constantly feeding on the Word of God, your children will know you're growing spiritually. They're going to know you're, for lack of a better phrase, gaining weight spiritually. Because they're going to be feeding from you. They're going to be learning from you. They're going to be drinking water from the fountain that flows with fresh water. Are you fed by God? Are you studying God's Word? Are you in the Word of the Lord each day? You know, we have so many mechanisms, tools here by which we teach you to study the Word of God that I hope you take advantage of those things. Those men involved in our TC program have learned so much over the last two years, looking forward to our third year together. But they've grown so immensely because of the truth of God they're learning week in and week out. And we, as a church, want to help you grow in your walk with the Lord. And I would trust you to take advantage of those things. I want you to be complete in Christ, so that you can treasure your legacy, protect your legacy, value your legacy. Because there is no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That happens when I'm favored by God, forgiven by God, a friend of God, fear God, fixed on God, fed by God. And then number 7, fueled by God. Fueled by God. Those who are fed by God, well, they're fueled by God. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it be at home in your heart. That's the same equivalent to being filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, being controlled by the Spirit of God, being moved by the Spirit of God, walking in the Spirit of God. You're fueled by God's Spirit. How is that? When the word of Christ dwells in you richly, it's the Word of God that moves you, it propels you, it compels you to live for Christ. And when that happens, wow, you're fueled by Him. And a man fueled by Christ is a man of prayer. So important, a man of prayer. Because that's that fuel that energizes the soul. Because you're fed by God, you know how to communicate and pray to God. Because you know what His Word says. And again, I'll go back to my father. He never taught me how to pray. He never said, son, when you pray, pray this way. He never did. But my dad was always praying. He always took me to prayer meeting. And I told you a story for some of you who know this, that we used to go to prayer meeting every Wednesday night. And there was only me. There was no other high school student or junior high school student at a prayer meeting. My parents made me go. Parents need to make your children do the right thing. They might not want to do it. Make them do the right thing. Going to church, right thing. Being involved in youth ministry, right thing. Being involved in children's ministry, the right thing. Make them do the right thing. They do so many wrong things anyway. Make them do the right thing. My parents made me go to prayer meeting. I was the only one there. But I sat in a room on those little itty-bitty chairs that little kids sit in. That's what we kneeled on and put our elbows on them. So uncomfortable. We prayed for an hour every Wednesday night. And I prayed with all these old guys around me. They were so much older than me. But I learned to pray. Because prayer is more caught than taught. You catch prayer. And listening to my father pray, listening to these men pray, I learned how to pray. That was the fuel behind these men. The man of God who's complete in Christ is fueled by Christ. He treasures his legacy so much, he wants to be fueled by the Christ. He wants to be fed by the Christ. He wants to be fixed on the Christ. He wants to be fearful of the Christ. That's the man of God who's complete in Christ. And next, you want to make sure that you're faithful to God. Faithful to God. So important to be trustworthy. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it's required of a steward that he be found faithful. You know, I've learned in life that it's always more important to be faithful than it is to be successful. God values faithfulness. I've also found out that those who are fueled by God and fed by God are those who are the most faithful to God, because those are the ones who fear God the most. Are you faithful to God? Are you faithful in your discipline? Are you faithful in your duty? Are you faithful in your diligence? Are you faithful in your devotion and dedication? Are you completely trustworthy and loyal and faithful to God? Oh, your children need to see that. You are unwavering in your commitment. You're faithful to God. Next, you're fruitful for God. Fruitful for God. And this is my Father glorified, John 15, verse number 8, that you bear much fruit. What fruit? Fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Are you fruitful for God? Do you exude the joy and love and peace of God? During this pandemic, are you at great peace with God? Do your children see that fruit? Do you love God? Are you the kind of person that's completely joy founded in God? And then it goes on to talk about the fact that you are patient and kind and gentle, that you are the kind of person that's self-controlled. Wow. Just read an article the other day about how pornography has escalated during this pandemic. It's gone off the charts. Are you self-controlled? Do you control your thought life? Do you control your emotions? Do you control your temper? Do you control your words? That's the fruit of the Spirit. You want to build a lasting legacy? Be fruitful. And then be fulfilled by God. Fulfilled by God. Is God your great reward? Remember what God told Abraham in Genesis 15, verse number 2? I am your great reward. Abraham, I'm your reward. I'm it. And God's our, we're satisfied with God alone. Matthew 5, verse number 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they and they only shall be satisfied. The only ones ever satisfied in life are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because they hunger, yet they hunger all the more, but they're hungering for the right things. And once they're filled, they just want more, to be more filled with righteousness. They hunger and thirst for it because they're satisfied with Christ and Christ alone. Christ wants you satisfied only in Him. Do your children know that what satisfies you the most is Christ? That what satisfies you the most is the will of God and the work of God and the ways of God? Do your children know that? See, you passed all this stuff on. This is your legacy. It's a legacy of being complete in Christ, which is a life that continues on with Christ. The person complete in Christ is favored by God, forgiven by God, a friend of God, fears God, fixed on God, fed by God, fueled by God, faithful to God, fruitful for God, fulfilled by God, follows God. Follows God. This is the only time you get an F, you succeed. All these F words. You follow God. You follow God. That was Christ's great command. You just want to follow God. Just follow Him. Be true to Him. If any man come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. Mark 1, Christ said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. When you follow Christ, He makes you into what He wants you to be. So important. And when you follow Christ, you will finally and forever be home with Christ. And that's your legacy. That's those who are complete in Christ. That's what I want for you. I mean, each of these points could be a sermon on in and of themselves. But I'm just giving you a sketch of what I want to be to my children so I can pass on a lasting legacy to my children. That's all that matters. I have 8 children. And what I pass down to them is what really matters. I want them to understand who God is because they see in their father God-like characteristics. Are you a fortress for your family? Are you strong for your family? Are you the refuge for your family? Well, if you treasure your legacy, that is, you want to protect that. You understand what it means to be favored by God and forgiven by God? And to be a friend of God. And those who are a friend of God fear God. They fear nothing else because their eyes are completely fixed on God. Fixed so much they want to be fed by God, fueled by God, faithful to God, fruitful for God. Follow God. So that one day they can finally and forever be with God. Wow. That's some great stuff right there. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your word. I pray for the men of our church, Lord, that you would use your word in their lives, that they'd be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that they would truly treasure their legacy. Now, they can leave behind material things and temporal things, and they'll last for a while, but they won't last forever. What lasts forever is what really matters. And I pray that the greatest joy would be to see their children walk in truth. That's my prayer this evening. We pray this in the name of our coming King, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in. We trust you'll be with us this Sunday and every week after this, as long as we're in the situation, because we want to feed you the Word of God. And we trust you to invite others to be with you, to tune in with you, to listen, that they too might experience the joy of the Lord. Have a great rest of the week. Thanks for tuning in.